Let's get started. Anything I quote today is really based on an article in Shirim based on my Rebbe, Rav Rosenzweig Shlita. I was in his shir for over 5 years in YU, so I try and quote a lot of his Torah, especially when it comes to the Moad and when it comes to the festivals. So throughout shir, you spend years just hearing a lot of core ideas, even if they're on different topics. But the core ideas of Yom Tovim, he always comes back to the main ideas. He actually just came out with his first sefer you could buy, I believe in Rosenblum's, Mimini Michael, on Tshuva on Yom Kippur. And I used it, and it was fantastic. So highly recommended to...
His wife is a professor at Stern.
His wife is professor at Stern, exactly. So highly recommend. But anything I say is from him, and any mistake I make is obviously my own. Because he's probably the smartest person I've ever met in my life. So we start off with the Gemara and the Mishnah. So I wish I brought a Gemara. I meant to bring a Gemara here. But what daf is the Gemara that we looked at? What daf? Anyone know? 56. So what does that mean? If we're going in Hebrew? Chaf Ches Amad Beis. So Chaf Ches Amad Beis, we're already on 28b. 28b in the Gemara. And just to already point out, how many dafim are before 28? 27. Or 26 if you don't count daf Beis. It's a little trick question. But if I were to ask you, you're writing Mishnayos. You're writing Mishnayos and you want to describe the mitzvah of Sukkah. What would you have started with? Maybe how to build a Sukkah? Okay.
Or the mitzvah of sitting in a Sukkah.
Right, the mitzvah of sitting in a Sukkah. Maybe we could have figured out, done a survey in all the mitzvahs and all the way we start the Gemaras. But the Gemara does not tell me what, or the Mishnayos do not tell me what the mitzvah of Sukkah is until Daf Chaf Ches Amad Beis, a pattern which Rav Rosenzweig point out, is not just going to be in the Gemara. It might already be in the Psukim and in the Rambam, which we'll get to in a second. But just even before we start reading the Mishnah and the Gemara, we do not have a reference. We're going to have maybe certain exemptions of Sukkah, and what does a Sukkah look like, and what's considered valid or invalid, but we have not described what we do in a Sukkah, and we're already on Chaf Ches Amad Beis in the Masechta. So the Gemara tells us, the principle, just starting with the Gemara, Kol Shiva Sayyamim Adam Osa Sukaso Keva Uvesa Arai. You know, a person has to make his sukkah his permanent dwelling and make his house into his temporary dwelling on sukkahs. Ketzad. So what would you expect? What would you expect right now? I tell you, make sukkah your main dwelling for 7 days and make your house into your temporary dwelling. What would you expect the Gemara to say? How should you do that? What are the main ways you'll make something into your home?
You eat.
You sleep. You drink. And the Gemara does say that, but that is not the first example that the Gemara gives. What does the Gemara say when it says Ketzad? Hayu lo kelim naim. You know, you have a nice set of china you got for your wedding from somebody. Bring them into the sukkah. Use nice utensils, not only the utensils, matzos, naos, you know, nice tablecloths. Bring everything into the sukkah. And that is the way 27 dapim of waiting to hear what is the mitzvah of sukkah. Make sure to have nice, you know, make sure, you know, your wife likes the napkin rings, have the napkin rings. You want to use the fancy glasses, not the not so fancy glasses. Make sure that's what you do, and that is the mitzvah china. Of sukkah. The china, you're going to make sure to bring into the sukkah. And the obvious question is, how is this the focus? Again, the Gemara in a second is going to add, Ocha v'shoso metayel basukkah. You also have to eat and drink and spend time in the sukkah. Minahani milu detan rabbanan teshu kein taduru. Mikan armu kol shivas yom osa adam sukaso keva vesa arai. Again, repeating the same line of have nice vessels, have nice tablecloths, and also, by the way, eat, drink, and make sure to spend time in the sukkah. And if I would have asked you, what would have been the focus of trying to show the house is temporary and the sukkah is permanent and where I am for 7 days, don't we all would have said,
don't put your permanent stuff in there.
Right. Or we really would have said that the focus should be on eating, drinking, sleeping. Those would be a greatest indicator. So our question number one is, what is this focus on the nice vessels and the nice sheets, you know, the nice tablecloths? We should obviously say, what is the mitzvah of sukkah? How do we make a sukkah permanent? The way to make a sukkah permanent is to eat, sleep, and drink there. So that's question number one. We're going to start off with just asking a bunch of questions, try and have an idea that puts everything together, and hopefully that will help with the sources. But that is question number one. Question number two is, again, Rosenzweig's lists are quite complicated sometimes, so hopefully we're going to have everything clear. But we're going to ask three parts to question number two, an idea I already referenced before. Why is it that we're waiting till Chaf Ches Amid Beis to tell me what the mitzvah of Sukkah is. You would have expected that front and center. There is a mitzvah to either sit, sleep, and eat, drink, whatever the mitzvah is, which is a big question. What exactly is the mitzvah of Sukkah? Which, and when do you make the bracha? Which we're not going to discuss today, but that definitely ties into our conversation. But why is it that the Gemara and Mishnayos don't tell us what the mitzvah of Sukkah is until we get to Chaf Ches Amid Beis, already towards the end of the second parak? That should be a front and center in the Masechta. Yeah.
What did he tell us before?
So that's all focusing on the structure of a sukkah, which we'll get back to. So, for example, the first mishnah is you can't have a sukkah more than 20 amos high. Exactly. So, but why is it that we don't describe what you have to do in a sukkah? There doesn't seem to be many parallels. So that's question 2A, we're going to call it. Okay? 2B, but the reason why I'm calling it 2A, 2B, 2C, it's going to be three phenomenons. One's about by the Mishnayos, the second one's by the Torah, and the third one's by the Rambam, but they're really getting at the same pattern, okay? So that's 2A. 2B is going to be in the Torah. So hopefully you guys all got a chance to look through the Makoros. And interestingly enough, and this could be a shiur in its own right, is that in Parshas Emor, which is the main Parsha about the festivals, about the holidays, there are actually two sections of Sukkos. There's the first section of Sukkos, which I gave you Lama Gimel to Lama Chas, and then there's the second section of Sukkos. But fascinatingly, the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah is not mentioned in the first parsha. You would expect the mitzvah of Sukkos, what's the holiday called?
Sukkot.
So I would assume that the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah and sitting in a booth should be front and center, the same way that matzah is front and center by Pesach. So already in the first presentation, we have no mitzvah of Sukkos. Similarly, in Parshas Pinchas, when we describe the mitzvah, the karbanos that are brought, there's absolutely no reference to the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah. If you look in Parshas Re'eh, our third description of the mitzvah of sukkah, there is no mention of sitting in a sukkah. Sometimes we'll say Chag HaSukkos, but it does not tell me what do I do? What is the mitzvah? So we have three parshios already in the Torah which leave out and omit the most central detail of what we're doing on the holiday. Namely, it doesn't say to sit in a sukkah. So finally, if we look in source number 4 on page number 2, in the second section of in Parshas Emor about Sukkos, which again is its own topic we won't delve into right now, in Pasuk Mem Beis, Basukos Teshvu Shivas Yamim. We finally have a command to dwell in a sukkah for 7 days, but that's only at the end of the presentation, right? It seems like it's not even like the main focus. We're first going to have describing the Dalet Minim, exactly the Chagigah stuff, and only then in Pasuk Mem Beis, Besukkos Teshuv. So my Rebbe pointed out, it seems like a parallel phenomenon, right? That's why 2a, 2b. The Mishnayos leave aside how to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. The Psukim also seem to leave aside how exactly you do the mitzvah of sukkah, so much so that Re'eh and Pinchas don't even mention the obligation to sit in a sukkah. It's only going to be in Parshas Emor, but not even the first Parsha of Emor. We have to wait till the second Parsha in Emor about sukkahs to describe sukkah. And the obvious question is, why? So that's question 2b. Why do the psukim seem to take away a focus on the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah? So you could tell me the Torah has its reasons, the Mishnayos have its reasons, you're trying to assume that there's always a structure in Mishnayos and in the Torah. Okay, but you know who's very structured? And who organized everything on his own? The Rambam. So even if you deny questions 2a, 2b, what about question 2c? Which is, how normally does the Rambam start off a section about a mitzvah? You know, you start Hilchos Shofar, the mitzvah is, what is defining the mitzvah? You're going to mitzvah saseh, again, here we're talking about shofar, it's a bad example because it's more complicated, but it might be lishmoa ko shofar, or to blow the shofar, depending who you are, right? Or you're talking about tefillah, the mitzvah saseh to daven every day, or mitzvah saseh to say kriya shma twice a day. That's how the Rambam always, almost always, starts off the halachos, describing what is the positive commandment. But how does the Rambam start Hilchos Sukkah? Again, the Rambam orders, put shofar, sukkah, and lulav together. So the first three prakim are about shofar. So Perek Dalet is really the beginning of the Rambam's discussion of Hilchos Sukkah. So how does the Rambam begin Hilchos Sukkah and Perek Dalet?
Measurements of the sukkah.
The measurements of the sukkah, how high, how short, and exactly parallel to the Mishnayos. He doesn't describe what the mitzvah is, which is very unusual for the Rambam. So why is the Rambam seemingly not focusing on the mitzvah of sukkah? You have to go Perek Dalet, Perek He. Then you get to Perek Vav, and then you get to Halacha He and Halacha Vav, and only then do we get a description of the positive commandment of sukkah. Point number one. So that's question 2C. Namely, we have the Mishnayos that seem to be pushing away the mitzvah saseh of sitting in a sukkah. We have the Torah doing that, and now we have the Rambams. Even if you're going to tell me that the Mishnayos and the Torah, you know, okay, you come up with some reason, but the Rambam, who's focused on structure, why does he deviate from his normal structure? Yeah, you have a question?
We saw it before. Yeah, you have all these parts, okay, and leading up to Leche Basukah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You can't just jump out there and sit.
Right, but that's always the case. Like, for example, by Lulav. So you have to prepare the lulav in advance, right? You got to put it together with the other minim, or you have to pick it out and make sure you have the right measurements. But the Rambam normally doesn't define what tefillah is before saying it's a mitzvah to say to daven, right? Daven, okay, and what's tefillah? I'll get there, right? So first, usually the Rambam says you have to figure out why when he doesn't do it, but normally the Rambam focuses on what do you do? What is practically the commandment that I have to do? And then he'll tell me the details. So why does the Rambam deviate? And this relates to the first question that we asked, but the Rambam parallels the Mishnah and Gemara that we saw. How do you fulfill the mitzvah? What does the Rambam first speak about? First he speaks about the dimensions, but when he finally gets to the mitzvah in Perek Vav, he describes the kalim and the tablecloths. And only then in Halacha Vav, he goes, Ochlin v'shosin v'yishenin basukah. Again, seemingly putting the vessels and the sheets before the main things that you do, eating, sleeping, and drinking. So we have these two big questions so far. Number one, what's with this focus on the kalim and the matzos, the sheets, the vessels, and having nice utensils in the sukkah? And two, why does the Mishnayos, the Torah, and the Rambam seemingly place away the emphasis from the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah? Question number three is that there's a last part of the sukkah. So right after, in source number 8, right after we have the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah, the Torah adds a pasuk. Pasuk mem gimel, leman yedu deroseichem, ki besukas hoshafti es bnei Yisrael, behotzi osam mi'eretz Yisrael, ani Hashem lokeichem. That what is the reason for the mitzvah of sukkahs? So your generations should know that when I took bnei Yisrael out of Egypt, we sat in sukkahs. So the question is, normally, by a mitzvah, do we have reasons for mitzvahs in the Torah? There are a couple of examples of mitzvahs in the Torah, but for the most part, we do not have reasons for mitzvahs in the Torah. So number one, it's already strange what the Torah is adding a reason of leman yedu derotzeichem, right? By matzvah, do we have a reason for matzvah? Maybe, maybe not. Most times we do not have a mitzvah, right? We don't have an example of why we bring matzah. We might have explanations that we know, but the Torah is not explicating a reason. So that combined with this tour. So the tour, hopefully you read the, I hope you guys appreciate the biographies again. So the tour is, what's the work of a tour? Is it a machshava sefer? Is it a sefer mitzvos? No. What is the tour? The tour is a halachic book. So imagine you're halachist, right? You're all about halacha, and you begin your book, let me darshan chumash. Basukas teish v'shivas yamim. And trying to explain each part of the pasuk. And the Bach, who's a commentary on the Torah, is like, hey, this is a halacha book. What is the Torah doing? Right? Again, you could fully appreciate the Bach's point if you understand what is the Torah doing. The Torah is a halachas. So why is he adding in drushas of psukim? So the Bach has a very famous suggestion, which is actually really important in halacha l'maisa. We don't normally always focus on halacha l'maisa, but here it's important to know for your own fulfillment of the mitzvah of sukkah, where he comes up with a very important idea, which is, normally there's a machlokas throughout the Gemara, whether mitzvos srichos kamvana or not. Do mitzvos require intention or not require intention? Normally what we assume is, what does that mean? When I take a lulav, do I need to have intent to fulfill the mitzvah? Or do I not eat in Tent Aleph if I'm taking the mitzvah? If I'm taking a lulav, why am I taking the lulav? It's obviously you don't say the mitzvah. Obviously, we're talking
about one thing to do with the lulav.
Exactly. So again, it might be more complicated, and there's a lot of literature about this topic. But for the most part, there's no specific intent. Why am I taking a lulav? No one holds of that, seemingly, in general, by the machlokas of mitzvah srichas kavana. However, the Bach says that there are a few exceptions. One of the exceptions is sukkah. Sukkah means that you, what is the Torah telling us by adding a line in trying to darshan the psukim? That you need to have the intent of the mitzvah in mind. And if you don't have the intent of the mitzvah in mind, it's a lot of secondary literature on this Bach. Are you not Yotze? You don't fulfill it ideally? But for sure, there's an idea that you need to have in mind when I am sitting in a sukkah, the purpose and intent of the mitzvah, namely, we are trying to remember Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim. Again, whether it's sukkahs mamish, or it's an actual booze, or it's the Anani HaKovel, the clouds that protected us, to have something like that in mind. And according to some, you would not be Yotze, the mitzvah, if you do not have that in mind. You need to have in mind, I am sitting in a sukkah for this specific reason. The Bach says that this also applies to tzitzis and to tefillin, that you need to have the reasons in mind, and we're going to put those to side for the second. But in most mitzvos, do we have an obligation like this? Again, by lulav, do you need to have in mind what the purpose of taking a lulav is? No. So we already have this idea that sukkah seems to be quite different than other mitzvos. Not only do you have to have in mind to be Yotze the mitzvah, but you need to have in mind the reason for the mitzvah, so much so that, according to some, you might, based on this Bach, you might not even be Yotze the mitzvah. So, side note, make sure to have that intent when you're sitting in a sukkah. Sit in the sukkah, okay, I'm having in mind, because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and either put us in clouds, had clowns around us, or put us in booths. So you're fully Yotze the mitzvah, according to everyone. But either way, this seems to be a phenomena which does not apply to most mitzvahs. So we have three questions, right? Question number one, what's with the focus on the vessels and the sheets and the china rather than sitting in the sukkah? Question number two, why do the psukim, the mishnayos, and the Rambam seemingly downplay the mitzvah to sit in a sukkah? And question number three is, why is there this special intent by the mitzvah of sukkah, of sitting, making sure to have the right intention behind the mitzvah? And why does even the Torah itself give us a reason, even if it normally doesn't? Any questions on the questions? So hopefully everyone's confused right now, because that's the goal. Not confused to not understand the question, but hopefully to feel the tension behind the questions. Okay, so my Rebbe, Rav Rosenzweig, wanted to answer based on a comment of the Ran, on Daf Memches. So the Mishnayos tell us in Daf Memches that you are supposed to have a sukkah for 7 days. And even though you already had, let's say you already had lunch on the seventh day, right? You should not take down your sukkah. You should not take down your sukkah. Rather, you could, after Mincha, we allow a dispensation for you to start taking out the vessels because of Shemini, out of respect for Shemini Atzeres. Again, Shemini Atzeres is on the other side. We can't ignore that fact. So we need to remember that Shemini Atzeres is coming up. So we're going to take out the vessels, but you're not allowed to leave your sukkah. You cannot take down your sukkah before the 7th days are up. So the obvious question is, why do you need to keep your sukkah up on the 7th day if you're not using it? Like, I had lunch. I know I'm not going to eat any more in the sukkah. So why do I need to keep my sukkah up? So Rashi...
How about for those of us who do eat the sukkah Shemini Atzeres? Is it proper to take out the vessels?
So should you still take out vessels? Maybe it sounds like that you should. That you maybe have to do something to show that there's a transition from sukkah to Shemini Atzeres. Again, that's definitely it. Relates to the Rambam and the Ravid, which we're not going to get into right now. Is there an need to actively do something to your sukkah or not? But for sure is a good question. But why is it that we're not able to take down the sukkah on the 7th day? So Rashi says the reason that we would all expect. What's going to happen? I'm done with lunch. Okay, but I'm still hungry. I'm going to have another meal. I'm going to need to take a nap in the afternoon. There's something. Don't take down the sukkah. Wait till you're done because you might need it again. Very pragmatic, practical reason. Yeah.
Isn't there an issue of
muktzah? So it sounds like that there is no issue of muktzah here.
Why not?
I don't have a good answer to you, but it sounds like again, what's the exact malacha? Here it's talking about a specific just untying a knot. Again, what type of knot is in it? It's not so clear from Rashi, but definitely a good question. We'll hold off on it. I don't have a good answer, but definitely not the main focus because we're trying to pull an idea from the Ran. So what does the Ran say? The Ran tells us that you need to have a sukkah for 7 days. Not because pragmatically you might need to eat in it later in the afternoon. It could even be you know for sure that you're not going to eat it in the afternoon, but you need a sukkah for 7 days. A sukkah needs to exist. You need to have a sukkah for 7 days. And therefore, if you would take down the sukkah, you do not have a sukkah for 7 days. Right? So the obvious question is, why would you need a sukkah for 7 days? And that really is going to give us the answer and the idea, which will hopefully answer our three questions. So Rav Rosenzweig suggests, what is the mitzvah of sukkah? So a lot of mitzvos, we're going to use a brisker terminology, but I'll explain it, focus on the gavra, right? The maisa hagavra, the action of the person. So the commandment is for me to pick up a lulav and to, again, what you do with the lulav, we'll leave for now, but to pick up the lulav, shake it, whatever it is. But for me, the focus is for the person to do it. For example, similarly, again, a person has to eat matzah with a focus on the person, the gavra. Okay, a person, I need to consume a certain amount of matzah on the first night of Pesach. That is my mitzvah, with a focus on the person. However, the mitzvah of sukkah is different. The mitzvah of sukkah is not a focus on the person per se. Rather, it is a focus on the chefsa shel sukkah. But it means on the item of sukkah. The mitzvah is for a person to take a sukkah and to make it his permanent home for 7 days. That is what the mitzvah of sukkah is. To have a change in headquarters for 7 days. So I'm leaving my house, and this is my home for the 7 days. Not that every single time I sit in the sukkah, that is a mitzvah, even though that is true, whether you eat or sleep. But what does that reflect? Why are we eating in the sukkah? Why are we sleeping in the sukkah? Why are we learning in a sukkah? It's to reflect this idea that the sukkah has become my new headquarters for this 7 days. And that's what the Ran means. I need to have a sukkah for 7 days. Yes, I might not be eating it, but this is my headquarters. And if I take it down, so what does that show? This is not my headquarters. This is not me making the sukkah permanent. Rather, this is, you know, I happen to sit in a sukkah, but it's not a change in headquarters. So that is the idea. Any questions on the idea before I go and try and answer all three questions?
If you don't eat in your sukkah, you eat in the shul sukkah all the time.
That's definitely a good question, but maybe according to this idea, there would be an ideal at some point, again, to go a meal out or whatever it is for a couple of days, you're going away, but it sounds like there's an ideal to have a change in headquarters and maybe a focus even on your specific sukkah. Maybe you could fulfill it also somewhere else, but would that be called the same change in headquarters? You know, for example, you're getting a meal out on Shabbos, you know, so I sometimes go out for Shabbos lunch. I don't always eat that at home. So that doesn't necessarily reflect that that's not your sukkah. Versus I'm going to spend the whole time, you know, there are people in the city who have a hard time and they always have to go meals out there. I mean, let me say the city, I mean Manhattan, sorry, from New York. But they have to, you know, I'm going to have sukkah over here, sukkah over here. So that might not be the way to fulfill sukkahs in the most ideal way, right? It might be that to have a specific sukkah, which I'm going to do my learning in, I'm going to be doing my sleeping in. If I'm going, again, here, the weather, everything like that, and the safety. I live by Indian Boundary Park. I'm not sure it's so safe at 11 past 11 o'clock at night. But all those other factors. But it's really going to be a change in headquarters, and that is a focus on the object. This object is becoming my headquarters. Yes, that's going to lead to me having to eat there and me sleep there. But it's not a focus on the person. It's a focus on the object of sukkahs. And that's going to take us through our three answers. Yeah?
I think the nafkamina is that you should have Amazon deliveries to the sukkah. Mm.
But let's say it's to the mailroom anyway, always. I live in an apartment, but I hear you.
So if you're in an apartment, you can't build your own sukkah.
Right, so maybe
can you achieve...
So maybe through the apartment. Yeah, through the apartment sukkah. But I'm saying,
right.
Yeah, so I'm live... As long... But, you know, I don't know how the apartment sukkahs look and time appointments and whatever, but can you just go there if you want to eat a snack in the afternoon? Can you go there if you want to learn on your spare time? So those are all things to consider.
Are you saying that by the mitzvah is the taking? It's
a person doing something with an object versus here it's the object becoming the center for you. It's a subtle difference. Hopefully it's clear. Yeah.
I don't understand why even the question comes up. It's a Shabbat Shabbat.
Right, so have the sukkah for 7 days. Right, it could be. But if it's just practically, I need to eat in a sukkah, so then I'll take it down. I'm not eating. I'm done eating. Okay, so this answers all three of our questions. How does this answer our three questions? Number one, it explains why, according to the Bach, there might be a special intent by the mitzvah of sukkah. Namely, if this sitting in a sukkah is supposed to reflect a change in headquarters, so you have to have in mind, why am I doing this? Why am I making a change in headquarters? What is the reason behind that? Oh, okay, so it's connected to Yitzhak Mitzrayim, etc. But that explains why specifically this mitzvah is going to have a special intent, but not have a special intent by other mitzvahs. To answer question number two, why is it for 20-something dapim, the Mishnayos are going to focus on the structure of a sukkah? The Rambam is going to focus on the structure of a sukkah. And the Pesukim barely even speak about a person sitting in a sukkah. Because the focus is not just, hit my checkbox? Okay, I had a meal, so let me eat in the sukkah. That's the focus on the person. Rather, it is about a change in headquarters. It is a focus on the structure of the sukkah. That the structure of a sukkah is supposed to be the area in my, a change in headquarters. And by downplaying the focus on the person, so that helps you understand that the focus is not the person sitting there, but rather the structure becoming the headquarters for you for 7 days. And finally, that answers our first question that we started with. Why is it when the Gemara is trying to describe how you do the mitzvah that's going to tell you, you know how to do the mitzvah and make it keva? Put in your kalim and your nice tablecloths. Because if we would focus on the eating or the sleeping, that would sound as if, a person has a certain obligation to do. But you know what highlights a change in headquarters perfectly? The china. The tablecloths. If you're really living in the sukkah, is that your headquarters? So you know how you're going to do that? It's not just, okay, I'm having a huge meal, but I'm going to pull out the nice stops. I'm going to have my nice tablecloths. I'm going to have my nice vessels, because that creates an atmosphere of the sukkah and saying, this is the way that I'm living in my house. When I live in my house, I have a nice Yom Tov meal. I have the nice china. So that's also what I'm going to do on sukkahs. I'm going to bring my nice vessels, I'm going to bring my nice tablecloths, and I'm going to make this sukkah my headquarters for 7 days. So to just summarize, we started with three questions. Why is the focus on the kalim instead of the actions of the sukkah? Why there's seemingly a downplaying and lack of focus on how a person fulfills the item? And three, why is there this special intent that might exist by sukkah that doesn't exist other places? And the idea we suggested from Rav Rosenzweig is this idea that sukkah is not about the Maisa Hagavra, a person sitting there and eating there and sleeping there, and that's not the focus. Rather, it's supposed to reflect this orientation that a person, that the sukkah, the item of the sukkah, the chefza shel sukkah, becomes the change in headquarters. The same way that I live in my house during the year, that is the way that I'm supposed to celebrate sukkahs. And I think that just to end with a little musr for me, and I guess for everyone here as well, oftentimes I remember growing up, it was like, do I have to eat this meal in the sukkah? I'd rather be able to still watch the TV while still being able to. But this idea is really just a very powerful idea. What would I do if this was the normal year? What would I do if this was my house? Would I have this meal in my house? Okay, maybe you're the type of person who takes your lunch to go and has it outside your house and is eating it in the train. Okay, so then for you, maybe it looks different, But for most of us who, I think, eat in our house when we're having, a normal meal, to really try even beyond the halachic requirements of what you do and don't have to eat in a sukkah. But are we treating the sukkah like the baseline is, I'm in the sukkah unless I don't have to? And I think that's just a powerful shift in perspective. And hopefully if we're able to have that, it really can make our sukkah more meaningful, a sukkah is more meaningful, and we'll be able to successfully transition from our house as our headquarters to sukkah as our headquarters. So that would